Romans chapter 1 and verses 14 to 16. I bring the greetings from Ebenezer Evangelical Church down there in Pontnewith, and I'm sure Gordon has done the same, taking your greetings back to the fellowship there, and it's great that we can do that. And I think it's nearly every other year we have this pulpit swap, which is nice to be able to come and see you guys. But I know we've seen you before as well. It hasn't just been 2 years gone by, but we've seen you before, and it's good to do that. But let's turn to the Bible together. We're turning to Romans chapter 1, and as I said, it's verses 14 to 16, and we're thinking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wonder, what is the driving force in your life? What drives you? What gets you out of bed in the morning? Your wife? Well, that might be a good thing. Your wife or your husband gets you out of bed to make sure you get going in the morning. But the one thing the Christian can say is, this gospel should be the thing that gets us out of bed in the morning, knowing we've got a purpose to live. And knowing Christ Jesus gives us that person, that purpose to live. There was an American pastor, and he said on the back of a car, there was a bumper sticker. And it says, Jesus is my co-pilot. Now, if Jesus is your co-pilot, then it means you're driving the car. And while that might be true physically, Christ is the one who should be the head of the church. Christ should be the one who is the head of every man. Christ should be the one who's the one who leads us through every day. And so this gospel is really important, that everything in our life is driven by this good news. Because I wonder if you ever had bad news. Does that make you want to get up out of bed in the morning? No, I've got a cold, or I've heard someone's in hospital, and I've heard I've got a million and one things to do. You think, better just to stay in bed. You ever had one of those days? Yeah, just making sure. Yeah, we're all the same, aren't we? But here is Paul, and he says, actually, every single day I've got this good news. I am the man with the gospel. I am someone who has heard about Jesus Christ, and I believe in him, and he has led me to go out into all the world and to proclaim this gospel. God has separated him to be an apostle. I don't know whether you know what that word means. Apostle means sent out. Paul has been sent out by God on this mission to go and tell everyone he comes across about Jesus. What was he talking about? The old message from the Old Testament that speaks of Jesus, and speaking about Jesus who came, that is found in the Holy Scriptures, and it's about the one who is David's greater son, Jesus Christ. Now, that's the first two verses in Romans chapter 1. And we find here that this Jesus Christ is the mediator of the gospel. He's the one who we worship and adore. He's the one who we come to and say it's through him, through his death, through his resurrection, we find that actually we are raised from the spiritually dead. That actually truly through him we have grace, and we too are sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ to go and tell everyone in our circle, wherever we are, whether it's at home, whether it's in New Inn, whether it's in Cumbran, wherever it is, that we're to live out our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says this, you, talking to his disciples, you are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill, it cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Imagine that. Imagine having a light and putting a basket over the top of it. There's no point to that, is there? The light's supposed to shine. And Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so what drives you? Is this gospel driving you? I need to be light and I need to be salt. You are the salt of the earth. That we are to live our lives as Christians before a lost and dying world. Now, one man said that we should come to church like a sponge. It's what a strange saying, a sponge. Well, what do you mean? Well, you pour everything into a sponge, like the water, and you take it with you into the world. And when you're squeezed a little bit by your circumstances, what comes out? Not hatred, not anger, nothing else apart from what you've heard about Jesus Christ. You get squeezed, and the gospel comes out. I love Jesus. I'm living a different way. I'm not going to repay evil for evil, but I'm going to live for the Lord Jesus. I wonder, do we take this message to people in the world? Are we those who are good trustees of the gospel. Paul was. Here's the man with the gospel who has said that the message is all about Jesus and the mediator is Jesus. And he says, I want all of those who are in Rome to hear this message. The believers, I want to be encouraged with you with this gospel. And as you read that first chapter, and I pray you read it again, he says in verse 11, I want to come to you. I long to be with you. I long to be to sit with you and talk with you and have a cup of tea with you, if that's what they had back then, to sit down and to spend time talking about our mutual faith, that you may be encouraged and I may be encouraged. Because Paul wasn't a super apostle. You see, standing up here doesn't make you super, super spiritual. Although there are qualifications that you need to be prayerful, you need to be able to teach the Bible. But at the end of the day, we believe in the priesthood of all believers, that we all have a part to play. And so I wonder about you. What is driving your life, and how will you encourage me as I encourage you this morning? Now, three things I want you to see from this passage, and they all have what Paul says, I am, I am, I am. And the first thing he says, he's compelled to preach the gospel. Look what he says in verse 14. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. I am a debtor. He is compelled to preach the gospel. In another place he says, woe is me if I do not preach about Jesus Christ. Woe is me if I don't speak about his life, perfectly lived before God, his death, which was the perfect sacrifice for our sins, and his resurrection. For he died and rose again the third day. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in the believer. Because who's raised us from the dead? And here is Paul talking about he is a debtor. I wonder if you ever thought about that, of being a debtor. I thought you would say that the gospel is free. It is free. But Paul has something in mind for us to think about. He's a debtor. Now, there's two ways to think about this. The first way is this. If you, being so kind, if you gave me £1,000, and I've seen the head going, if you give me £1,000, I would be indebted to you. So I'd have to repay it. I'd have to give it back, and probably with interest, if you're switched on financially. Yeah? I'm indebted to you. You've given it to me, and I have to pay it back. But Paul is thinking about this. He's saying it like this. Say you gave me £1,000, very kind of you, and said it's for Mr. Smith. Then I'm indebted not to you, but to give it to Mr. Smith. I'm indebted to go to him and say, I've got a gift for you, and here it is, all of it. Here is all the gift I've received. I'm passing it on to you. This is what Paul is saying. I have been saved by Jesus Christ. He has rescued me from my sins. I've been forgiven. I'm a child of God. And now I'm indebted to God to go and take this gospel to other people. That's the driver in his life. That's what was driving him. I must. He's compelled to go to others, both Greeks and barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. Let me just tell you what he's trying to say in taking it to the Greeks and the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. Because here is Paul saying, well, where's the upper echelons in society? Oh, it's those who are learned. It's those who have been to university. It's those who are philosophical, those who are philosophers. Well, here is the gospel. It's for them. It's for them who know things. It's for those who think they're a cut above the rest. And he must preach the gospel that actually everyone is on the same level. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. Even my best attempts at hitting the target, I've missed. And so here is the compulsion. I must go to those Greeks who can read and think and are learned, and I take the gospel to them. But also here he's saying that he takes the gospel to the barbarians, the barbars. You know, those who mumble and jumble and just get along, who aren't very learned, who you say those who are of lower society, those who are people who would look down on, maybe they can't read, maybe they can't speak properly. Of course, I know King's English, I just refuse to speak it. Ulster Scot comes out instead. And I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. But for those of the top society and those who are of the lowest of the low in society, who no one cares for, the gospel is for all of those and everything in between. He's indebted to take this gospel. I am compelled. I must take it to all of these people. I must take it to those who think they are wise, who think they've got their heads screwed on, and to those who are a bit reckless. I must go and talk to all of these people and to tell them that this good news is for them, that they are lost before God and there's only one Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be right with God. If we wanted to bring an illustration of this, Paul is like a lighthouse. He's sending out the light for other people to see. Don't crash onto the rocks. Come and be rescued. Don't be in peril in the sea. Or maybe it's like a life raft. Paul is in the life raft grabbing people from the sea, saying, be saved, be rescued, don't perish. Or Paul is like someone who says, don't take in the poison of sin. Don't spew it out either. Because actually it's in you to sin. It's in you to rebel against God. And you have one antidote. His name is Jesus. And he's the one who you need to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And here is Paul saying, I'm compelled. I really am compelled to take this message to everyone in society. Now I wonder, does that compulsion live in your heart? That as you live every day, you say, I have a purpose to live for Jesus. Maybe the first thing you need to do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Because actually you've got no purpose to life. You're just living for yourself and you might not get out of bed in the morning. Because why get up and do the 9-to-5 thing or 9-to-9 or why ever just keep on doing the same thing over and over again? You need to live for Jesus. Then he says every day matters. Because every day I'm light and every day I'm salt. I didn't need to live for Christ. Now, the second thing that we see here is that Paul is not only compelled to preach the gospel, he's prepared. He's prepared to preach the gospel. He says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. He's ready. He's prepared. And some people ask the question, well, what do you do to prepare for a Sunday like this? Well, I need to tell you that I don't just throw words together. Just, you know, get up in the morning and go, I'll speak from Romans chapter 1 and I'll guess. I'll guess what it says. No, if you do that, then actually you're not prepared. You're prepared to feel. Because you need clarity in thought. You need the Lord to spend time with him and to know what is really important, that actually you're prepared and ordered in your mind and thoughts. If you're going to preach well, you need to have spent time with the Lord and with his word. And so I hope this morning you can say that's happened, that we've had orderly thoughts, and we were able to come to the Bible and says, I can see exactly where you got that from, where Paul says, I'm ready. I'm ready to go to Rome. And I don't know whether you know anything about Rome, but actually Rome was a really dark place full of slaves. And those who were slaves were trying to get themselves out of slavery, and also full of those who were in political power. And people were just grappling all the time for power and prestige. And it's a bit like today where we talk about the rat race. I want to get to the top. I want to be rich. I want to be famous. I want to do something for myself and be something. Well, the fight was in Rome, the real seat of power. And yet people were full of immorality. People were full of all sorts of sins, and it was dark. And imagine Paul says, I want to go there. Not to have a holiday. We might visit Rome for a holiday. He wasn't going for a holiday. He wasn't going to see the Colosseum. He wanted to go to Rome to minister to people. He was ready. Now, the other week, I'm a chaplain of Dragons Wheelchair Rugby, and they were having a maintenance night. Anyone know what a maintenance night is? You're going to fix some wheelchairs. And so I got my Allen keys, and I got my hammer, and off I went. But you don't know that I'm no good at fixing things. In fact, I'll break things more than I fix them. So don't let me with a hammer and don't let me with Allen keys. It'll fall apart. But I went equipped. I went as if I was going to fix things. And if the police had stopped me, they may well have arrested me for being and going equipped. But isn't this what we should be every single day as Christians? For the Bible tells us that for all of those who ask for the reason of the hope that's within us, we should be able to answer them. We should be able to answer them with meekness and kindness. That if someone asks you, why are you so happy? Or why are you so filled with hope? We can say, because of Christ. Because he's my Savior. Because he has given me a purpose to live. I remember a lady who went to Ebenezer, but she was in glory before I ever got there. But she always had a tract, a gospel message in her bag. And she would just give it out. She was ready to give the gospel of Jesus to anybody. She went equipped. And Paul was ready and equipped like a runner on the starting blocks. He had done all the preparation. He had done all the hard work, the training. And now he was going to be off if the Lord let him go. He was like a wrestler who had done all the prior training and was in the circle. He was ready to start. He's like a boxer who had done all the skipping and all the training up to the boxing match, all the sparring, and the match was on. He was fighting the good fight. Maybe you're a fisherman. Maybe he had all the gear, all the tackle, the rods, and the bait. He was all prepared. All he had to do was cast off. Paul wasn't just ready on a Sunday morning like this, or Sunday evening. He was ready day in and day out to wherever God would call him to. Ladies and gentlemen, I wonder, are you prepared to preach the gospel? Are you prepared to tell people of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you've got to remember what he's done for you. That truly, he died for your sins. In fact, he bore God's righteous anger at your sins. That this Jesus Christ came the whole way from heaven to do that. He took on our flesh. And he died the death that I should have died. Oh, what a Savior that we do have. And you know, one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that we have is that we think people don't want to hear the gospel. Simply not true. There are some people who refuse the gospel, but there are so many people who get up in the morning and have no purpose, and they are like lifeless. Is this life? Working all the time, studying all the time, going and running all the time, doing sports. And is this it? Is this all life supposed to be? No, God made us for himself to worship and to adore him. And we are restless until we find our rest in him. A man called Archibald Brown said this, "The gospel is a fact, so tell it simply. It is a joyful fact. So tell the gospel joyfully and cheerfully. It is an entrusted fact, so tell it faithfully. It is a fact of infinite moment, therefore tell it earnestly. This is the day. This is the day of salvation. In fact, it is a fact about a person, therefore speak about Jesus Christ, your Savior." This gospel is the good news, and Paul was compelled. Are you compelled to preach the gospel? I can't but speak about him. Are you prepared to speak about him? You know why there's good news? That actually the one who made us seen that we rebelled against him, and he wants to bring two warring parties back together. He wants us to be in relationship with him. And so Christ Jesus died that I should be able to call him mine. Now, knowing all of these things, we should be able to tell people about Jesus. Whether that's being at a bus stop and talking to those who are there, whether it's sitting having a cup of coffee, we can talk about our Savior. What an opportunity that we can find that actually these natural times of speaking about Jesus can come in the most unexpected ways. When you're sitting in a wheelchair and telling somebody, listening to their woes, and then you have an opportunity. Let me tell you about a man who knew all of my life. Let me tell you about a man who forgave me and gave me purpose. See, conversations can be natural. We don't have to prepare a huge event in a huge auditorium, but right where you are, at home, at work, at leisure, wherever you are, you're to be light and salt to this world. And one last thing to say, compelled to preach the gospel, prepared to preach the gospel, and finally, unashamed to preach the gospel. Here is Paul saying, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dunamis, or the power of God, to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For I am not ashamed." Someone asked the question, why does Paul use double negatives, "for I am not ashamed"? Surely he could have said it some other way. Well, if I simply said, "I'm glad I'm here this morning. I'm glad to tell you about Jesus," it doesn't have the same impact, does it? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed. Something different in that, isn't there? That he has thought about this and he's written it down and said to us by the help of God that truly there is no shame in Christ Jesus. That truly this is a message that everyone needs to hear. From whatever religious background you're from, whether you're Jewish or whether you're a pagan, you're a Greek or a Gentile. For actually here is Paul saying, there was one day where I didn't believe in Jesus. You remember what happened to Saul of Tarsus, the same guy? Remember what he did? He was off thinking that he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was the most religious person in all the world. He was the greatest. He went to arrest Christians in Damascus. He went to get rid of them. He wanted to arrest them, to have them to be renounced in their faith. He went to get them. And this apostle Paul was the very one who was Saul of Tarsus. And with his Jewish name, he was going to try and get rid of people. And what did Jesus do? The risen Christ met him on the Damascus road with a light that was greater than the noonday sun. And he says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm the Lord Jesus whom you persecuted and persecuting. Why are you kicking against the goats, which are little sticks that actually get you to go in the right direction? Why are you going against the right way, Saul of Tarsus? And you know, that day, when confronted with the risen Jesus, this Saul of Tarsus was converted. He trusted in the Savior. He was there praying in Straight Street. And when Ananias heard that, and you go and pray with him, he's going to be a servant to the Gentiles. He's going to suffer many things for me. And no wonder Ananias says, "Who, him? I'm not going to Straight Street. I'm not going there to get my head taken off. No, I'm not going there." And he did go. And he heard that Paul was praying. So from someone who was vehemently against the gospel of Jesus Christ, here was a man who's transformed by the gospel. You see, this gospel is transforms not from the outside, but from the inside. That is why Paul could say he's not ashamed of the gospel. It works. This gospel transforms lives. It is the dunamis, the power. That's where we get the word dynamite from. Not that it blows you apart, but it takes that rocky heart of yours that's lost in sin and cracks it and breaks it, and underneath there's a heart of flesh. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes you alive spiritually. And here is Paul saying, I once was dead, spiritually lost, spiritually dead, but now I am alive. How does that happen? How does someone who is really against Jesus now stand for him and want to go to Rome for him and want to die for him? Truly, this gospel's real. And just to finish that off, Paul says that it's not just the social aspect of this gospel where it's for Greeks and barbarians, for wise and unwise. He says it's for the Jew and also for the Gentile. So here is Paul covering all bases. He's saying, if you're Jewish, this gospel's for you. This gospel is for those who had the law and had the prophets, had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. those who had the kings and had all the prophets who spoke about Jesus coming. This gospel is for the Jewish people. Oh yes, the Messiah has come. He's here, he's gone, he's back in heaven because he died and rose again. But also this gospel is for the Gentile, those who are pagan, who don't have the law, and yet they know what is right. And they know what is wrong because God has written the law on their heart. This gospel is for every bounds of cultural society, but also from all religious society as well. What's he saying? I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It's for everybody. But will everybody come to put their trust in Jesus? Will all of the people who are in this room, will we all have our trust in Jesus Christ? Will all people in UN come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Will only those who hear the call of Christ and respond to him and repent and turn to him because of what he's done for us? See, here is the message that God does love us, that Christ really did come into the world to die for us on a cross, that truly, that every single person needs to have this transformation inside. And when you think about it, when Jesus was there on earth and when he was in Jerusalem, people thought they were really religious and great, next to God, in fact. They went to church and they prayed and they gave their alms to the poor and they dressed wonderfully and they thought they were next to God. But that was external. This gospel changes us from the inside. And it will affect everything on the outside. And the Apostle Paul knew that as he preached this message, there will be those who accept him, accept Jesus, and those who wouldn't. And I wonder this morning, are we ashamed of this gospel? Now knowing that this gospel transforms lives, are we ashamed of it? Because actually it either hardens people or has others to have their hearts transformed by the Spirit of God, to be born again, to have spiritual life. Are you ashamed of this gospel? Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's glory and of the holy angels. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the one who transforms your life, the one who came for us, the one who died for us, the one who rose for us, the one who's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for his children. You know, today, we don't need to be embarrassed, but we need to be aware. We need to be aware that there will be people who will say this. If you and I said we were going to see Buddha, oh, you're a wonderful person. You're a real mystical, spiritual person. If you said you were going to read about Plato or Aristotle or go to Greece, oh, you're so intelligent, a reader of philosophy. But the moment you say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, you're crazy. You're a nutcase. You're a fool. But why? Why is it foolish to the world to trust in Jesus? Let me read you a verse from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Gospel is foolishness to the lost, but actually to you and me as Christians, this gospel is what gets me out of the bed in the morning. This Jesus Christ reminds me I've been changed. He's forgiven me. I'm loved. He's shown me his mercy. I know him and he knows me through and through. And he's changing me day after day. He is having me to live. And one day I'll be with him, but not yet until he calls me home. This gospel has power to change me to be more and more like him every single day. Are you ashamed of this gospel? Be unashamed, because it transformed my life and it's transformed your life if you're a believer. It transformed the life of Saul of Tarsus, and we get to see that this gospel has changed us from the inside to the out. Let me give you just an illustration of that, because I try to understand what has happened in a life. It's maybe like a building like this, or even an older building that has old electrics in it. You know, all of those wires that go throughout the whole building. And when you're at one stage, you have to pull out all the old wires to put in all the new. And this is what Jesus Christ does in a life. He takes out all the old sins and all the old stuff, all the filth, to pull out all the electrics and all the wires, everything that is not good, spiritually off. Takes it all away and puts in all the new wiring. And then the lights go on. And you get to see the real shape of the place when there's proper lights. And you can see every recess of your heart and you go, Lord, I'm so sinful. Even if you've been on the road with Jesus Christ for many years, oh Lord, you've shone a light into my heart. I can see clearly I'm off with you. I need your forgiveness. A bit like those new electrics when the lights do go on. I missed that mark. Look at the dust in that corner. I'm not saying there's dust over there, but you just look. We can truly see it now. Lord, forgive me. I was unaware. I was ignorant. That's what it's like as a Christian. You start to see things from God's perspective. And that's what this gospel does. And it has to say, and the gospel has to say to us, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Christ has shown me my heart. But Christ has also shown me my Savior. Look what Christ did on the cross. He died for me. He died for my sins. He took my sorrows. He nailed them to that cross, and I bear them no more. What a Savior we've got. How can you be ashamed of this Jesus? How can you? And so here is this Paul. He's compelled to preach the gospel. Are you compelled to live your life for Jesus, compelled to tell everybody and anybody who would listen? Are you prepared? Do you know what to say? Talk about your Savior. Talk about how he's transformed your life, changed you. You're forgiven. You're a child of God. And are you unashamed of this gospel? You see, when we believe this gospel, we'll take this message to a lost and dying world. Christ can change and make the foulest clean. Where are you with God this morning? Are you a believer? Well, if you're not, listen to this gospel. It's good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And also, if you are a believer, know that there are people just round about you who need to hear this good news, to remind them why they live, to remind them why Christ came, to remind them of the goodness of God and the love of God, how he demonstrates his own love to us while yet we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, what a Savior. Someone said, let this gospel out. And let it out to a lost and dying world. And then you'll see what happens. That Christ Jesus will be glorified. Let's pray together.